Hello and welcome to episode 308 of the Mark and Me podcast. As always, I'm your host Mark. Now I'm really excited by today's episode because I'm joined by the singer from Taken Back Sunday, Adam Lozara. This is such a great interview and we hit it off straight away. The chemistry is brilliant and we get to focus and talk all about the band's brand new album, 152. The album has only just come out and hopefully you guys that are fans of the band have already listened to it because for me it's probably their finest album. And I know that's big words and a big statement, but I haven't stopped listening to it since I received an advance copy and it's blowing me away. It's an absolutely astonishing album and truly something you should check out straight away. But in true typical Mark and Me fashion, before you get that interview with Adam, what I do want to do is touch base quickly and talk about my last episode. I was joined by the rapper Shay Lingo. We got to talk all about anime, rapping, and so much more. And I just want to say now a massive thank you to everyone that listened and checked that interview out. It means the world to me. But today it's all about Taking Back Sunday, one of the best bands on the planet, and they are back big time with one of their finest pieces of work that you'll ever hear. So I think the best thing to do now is to get straight to the interview. Here's me and Adam talking all things Taking Back Sunday. So Adam, thanks for joining me today on the Mark and Me podcast.
Thank you for having me on your podcast. It's just you and me.
It is exactly that. And what I love to do with all guests that come on, the first question is basically take it right back to the very start. So when you were a kid, can you remember that first album that maybe you bought or was given to you that made you fall in love with music?
I remember there was 1 year to where I was like the last one of anyone that I knew that like had a CD player. It was like just cassettes up until then, but Nirvana Unplugged. So like for like a Christmas 1 year, you know, like I got a CD player and then the one CD I had was Nirvana Unplugged. And that thing, I've worn it, like I have it memorized front to back still to this day. That was a huge thing.
Wasn't that album so iconic? Like, I understand with Pearl Jam Unplugged and Alice in Chains Unplugged, their performances that will stay with me forever. Watching Eddie Vedder sing Black and, you know, Alice in Chains just was incredible. But for some reason, the fact that Nirvana chose to do covers, they chose to get the Meat Puppets on stage mm-hmm. with them. They just had their like dream moment. And it just, I can't believe the way like Come As You Are and Polly worked just so beautifully. And Kurt's voice for Where Did You Sleep Last Night at the end is so haunting.
Oh yeah.
Like that mm-hmm. whole performance stayed with me from the age of about 13 till even today when I listen to it, I'm like, it's timeless.
Mm-hmm.
It's just yeah. breathtaking.
I think I agree with you 100%. There was really some magic that they captured there.
It's weird as well, because I always kind of look at Kurt Cobain as being like 40 when he's playing that set. I don't realize that he's only like 26, almost 27.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Like, how have you got this voice and this talent and this musicianship so effortlessly at 26? At 26, I didn't even know what I wanted to do. I still don't know, but you know, yes, it was crazy. Yeah, like what? But it was.
I think that what's so cool about that is it's more like a like all of the best, I think, artists have the ability to just make it seem like it's just no big deal, or it's
unbelievable.
One of those like, oh, thanks, I just woke up like this, you know, kind of thing. But to where in reality, like they're probably grilling themselves, you know, in private that no one sees. But
they
I think
well.
that that's Oh, so well, so good.
So what about live music? Because with me, with live music, it all changed for me when I first saw my first live band, because as much as I love the CDs and the cassettes of Guns N' Roses and Soundgarden and Smashing Pumpkins, my first proper live band was Green Day on their Dookie tour, and I was blown away. Like, I couldn't believe there was three people on stage. I couldn't believe that those songs like When I Come Around and Basket Case and Brain Stew and all these songs sounded so incredible live. I was like, it sounds better than when I was at home on CD. Like, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
So what was your
well,
first
it's
gig
awesome
that kind
too
of had
because
that?
Oh, sorry. There's I just started to interrupt you.
No, carry on. If you want to talk about Green Day too, that's awesome.
Well, I just think it's more like there's something about like the live and being there, and like just because all that air being pushed, you know, like the at you from the speakers, and then also just the kind of like the fellowship, you know, like there's is like just like you feel like you're really in the moment, you're part of that thing that's happening and becomes like this kind of living, breathing. I wasn't allowed to go to like I didn't really go to many shows when I was a kid because my parents were like, no way, dude. And and then so like the first ones I went to were like local shows, you know, like local. Thankfully, I had like, or like, I lived in a place. It was like a real small town, but it had like there were a lot of kids with like punk rock bands, you know. And then I just remember going to those shows and like just being fascinated, you know, like the whole thing, like the community, or like just being in a room with anything turned up like that, and like the power behind it.
Kind of when your ribcage shakes, doesn't it, and the hairs on your neck stick up, and it's like,
my God,
you're not going to get that going to a football match, you're not going to get that, you know, going to a party. It's like, it's the bass and there's something magical about that when you're there that just will resonate and stay with you, even when you've got home and your ears are ringing and you're like, it was all worth it. It's like all part of the experience.
Yeah, man. Well, like too, it's interesting, like with like the bass, and so because like those frequencies, those sound waves, they're so fat, they're so giant and powerful that like to like feel that, you know. And then because there's also like I like feel that, I know for me, or like I've been more aware of it in the past few years, but it's like this thing of like, oh man, like I'm like actively like resisting, like if you, it's kind of like if you go like to the beach and it's really windy and you're having to lean into the wind, you know, it's that same thing.
It so is, yeah.
And it it's like yeah, it's magic. Well, it's science, but it's like alchemy, right? That's the mixture.
I don't want it to be science, I want it just to be magic in the air.
Yeah, right. Well, I want that too, and I like that.
And that's what I'll tell myself,
science, because I don't either.
So with your music journey, was there a live show that, even though you were watching local bands and stuff like that in your area, and I know your parents weren't letting you go and stuff, but there must have been a moment that defined you that was like, I want to do this. Like, there's a band that I've seen or a front man that sang in front of me that's made me want to go, I'm never going to fucking work in a shop. I just want to grab a microphone and play guitar or just sing and be in a band.
Cedric from At The Drive-In.
That's a hell of a choice.
Yeah, I saw them first time they came through. They were added to a local show, like kind of last minute. They were a three piece, and they had El Grando Orgo, which I'm saying that like so white, like El Grando Orgo, you know. was like their first thing. I think it was a full. It was almost a full length. But and it was the most insane thing I had ever seen. He was all over the place. Like, there was one time a few years later to where we like a buddy of mine, we just followed him around for a few shows, you know, on the East Coast here. And there was one show they played, it was at this place that's called The Temple in Philadelphia. and you're watching them play. They're all over the place, and there's just this energy. It's like you could bottle it up, you know, and take some home or something. It was so strong. And then, but there's one point he just disappears. And I'm like, where? Like, I looked away for 2 seconds. I go back. I'm like, where is he? And then he just pops out on the other side of the stage from the ceiling.
Amazing.
And then it was just, or like just the whole thing. And I think what was so amazing about it to me was like, that I realize now that, I mean, you know, I'm a little bit older than a teenager, is that you're getting to see, like, it's like complete freedom.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm always chasing. I feel that it's almost like they were in a state, like it was some transcendent thing.
That's exactly,
you know,
where my head was going, because over in the UK we have this show, I'm sure you've heard of it, the Jules Holland show, and there's, you know, you get all these,
yeah, man, he rips.
Unbelievable. But At the Drive-In was a special guest on the show, and I was like, normally they get stuff like Oasis or Blur or like quite chilled indie, and they came on and they played One Arm Scissor, and
yeah,
genuinely from the moment they started, he's jumping off the drum kit, he's on the bass cab, he's kind of, I think, hanging off one of the panels off the roof. And these people have like just watched someone like Gabrielle or the Spice Girls, and then they see this performance,
like,
and it's like,
yeah,
and then it's like
it.
Chaos. But what got me was I was kind of infatuated by this performance. Like, I couldn't take my eyes off it. It was like they just let off their leashes in a zoo, just running around doing what they want. But no one would ever get in the way of it. Their music was such a part of them. It was in their blood. It was in their system that I've never seen another performance like it. It was just like they lost their shit, but they were completely in control at the same time.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, like it's like they became, or like I like really liked what you said just then about how like it was like the music was just a part of them. Like it
yeah.
was just an extension of them. And that was the only, it's like somehow like that just becomes the only place, like the center of the universe, you know?
Yeah.
And like all the energy's going there, and they're the vessel. Oh my God. Absolutely incredible.
I miss those guys.
Yeah, same. There was the Mars Volta, I just saw recently, they they did a show at like Red Rocks, and I don't know if they're touring. I'm going to Google that once we get done, because that would be, it would be awesome to be able to see them again.
So kind of with your journey of obviously over 20 years now being in Taking Back Sunday, which sometimes when I interview bands, I had Brandon Boyd on from
Bonkers.
Incubus, and I was talking to him and I was like, when you brought Science out, and he's like, yeah, 24 years ago. I'm like, no, stop it. Like, stop doing this to me. Like 20 years since, what's the album of Incubus? Wish You Were Here was on and all that.
Oh yeah, man, that song. Cool.
But
great
why
song.
Can't I remember? It's got 11 a.m. on all that on. But unbelievable.
I don't know,
and that's 20 years ago. And I was like, stop it. Like, Morning View, that's the album. And I can't believe how fast time travels. But for you guys, like 20 years, it's, you must have never thought when you started this and was playing with this band that 20 years down the line, you'd be releasing new music and still absolutely loving what you do.
I have to be honest, I didn't even think, I mean, it wasn't until recently that I started to think long term about anything. So it's just kind of I like often say that I'm one of the luckiest guys that I know. And that's the truth. Because, you know, this is all I've ever wanted to do. And it's, so to be in a position to where, you know, all this time and all these, and we're still able to do it, and we're able to do it in a capacity to where we can put all of ourselves into it, you know, like that's, man, like not many people get
it's
that.
It's the dream, isn't
it's
it? Every
not
kid
something
that,
we take for granted.
Yeah, every kid that's picked up a guitar when they're a kid, like some little Squire Stratocaster in the mirror, and wish they were Kurt Cobain or something, like,
Dude, I did that, except it was a Squier Telecaster. It was seafoam green. And it would
Nice.
be Nirvana and Operation Ivy whenever my dad wasn't home. And then, because that way I could be as loud as I wanted and not have to worry about him hearing me jump around the room or anything.
I can't remember who I was talking to recently, but I always wish like I had that guitar again now. Like, even though it's a piece of shit and didn't sound great, for the nostalgia trip, I just wish I had that guitar. It was not very good. The pickups were shite. The strings were rusty, but it was just to have a guitar. But I just want that first guitar back. One day I hope I find it
Yeah.
in some sort of thrift store or something and just be like, oh, but you know,
You're like, whoa,
this is
there
the
it is.
one.
Yeah, there, man, like I don't think that, like, or like, yeah, there's not much that can replace that, because there's a different way, because then you have this relationship with the instrument to where, like, not only when you first were getting familiar with it, you were also getting familiar just with music in general. So there's this
Exactly.
like certain bond there that is very powerful. And it, and because then, you know, I don't think, like, nice, look, new nice instruments are the best because they always play so nice, but there's a certain way you have to approach, like, instruments like what you were describing, you know, like with strings that need to be changed, and maybe you
Yeah.
gotta like wrestle with it to keep it in tune, and you gotta hold it a certain way so it'll like sound, you know, like, I think that there's something to be said about all of that.
Should we find them one day and do a documentary about tracking down our first ever guitars?
You know what? I actually still have, well, the first guitar I ever got was a Hohner, like we ordered it like out of a catalog, you know, like a mail catalog.
That's
And
amazing.
still have that one. And then that electric, that Squier Telecaster, I have it, but I've gutted it. And because my plan is like, okay, I'm gonna just put new pickups in it, put new, like, the whole thing, and like fix it up. But I just haven't found the opportunity to do that yet. But it's
Do it when you
sitting,
retire in like 20 years. Just sit there and
right?
just
Yeah,
spend
here
all your days
you
just doing that.
go. Man, that sounds like a pretty cool retirement, actually. I love tinkering.
What I'm gonna do. I'm gonna get all my old Boss pedals when I retire and just sit there and kind of remake them sound great again and get them all looking as I
Oh,
used to.
man. I think that sounds like a beautiful day to me. Like that, like if somebody called me up and they're like, "Hey, I have all these old Boss pedals. You want to come hang out and plug them in?" I'd be like,
I'm
"Yes,
on my
I
way.
will be there. Can I spend the night?"
One thing I always find fascinating with bands that have been going for as long as, you know, 20 years plus is, do you have any kind of sight from the outside about the growth of the band? Are you able to see it within? Because people say when you get married, you should take a step back on your wedding day because before you know it, you blink and it's over and your wedding day's done and you don't remember anything. You get some photos back later. But being in a band, you know, you go to those first gigs, you do your first Warped Tour, you do your first festivals. But before you know it, you're then on the main stage, then you're either headlining some festivals or going on these bigger stages and kind of recording with bigger producers. But do you ever have chance to take a step back and kind of go, this is fucking rad. This is awesome. This is where we want to be. Or is it just too much of a blur?
It's both. It's if you were to ask me about like a specific year in time, it would be more than likely, it would be a bit of a blur as I was trying to recount it.
Yeah.
But there was, especially during like the pandemic, you know, like that was the thing. I would have never, well, like we would have never taken any kind of break like that on our own. And so that was kind of like the silver lining we found. And it was terrible and like the whole thing. But just like kind of being forced to, like, hey, you can't go anywhere. So just you need to figure your shit out. Like, so then I like found myself, once I kind of went through like all the levels of grief, whatever, that like, and was able to look at it like a little more of a bird's eye, you know, like I was able to be like, man, we have done just some amazing, like we've been able to do all these amazing things. I just can't believe it. I'm so grateful, you know, because oftentimes I like found over the years that like hanging out with like, it's like, unless you're with a specific group of people talking about a lot of those stories and like recounting those, certain people take that the wrong way. They take it like it's some kind of like flex or something, you know, like you're trying to brag.
Yeah.
And that's never the case. That's not the kind of people we are, you know? And so there's a lot of things that I just didn't, you know, like it wasn't an easily, there were a lot of memories that weren't easily accessible. And it wasn't until I started to kind of go through the Rolodex in my head, you know, that like, that I was remembering even certain things, and then just actually doing exactly what you said in your question, just this thing of like, oh my God, this is amazing.
It just took about 18 years to have that chance to do it.
Yeah, it like really did. Don't get me wrong, there's definitely times like over the years, you know, to where like, say like you just played, going back to Green Day, this is actually a great story for that, is we opened a show for them at Milton Keynes, and it was
I was at that show.
Me too.
Yeah.
And then like it was like Hardfi, us, Jimmy Eat World.
It was unbelievable. What a lineup.
Yeah, dude, so well, I'm like, I can't believe I'm gonna watch Jimmy Eat World and then I'm gonna watch Green Day, and then like this is amazing. So, but it was like, it was 60,000 people, but 2 days. And then, so like you walk out on that stage and it looks like someone hung a big backdrop, and then it's just like you're on some hidden camera show, or somebody's playing a mean joke on you. So like in moments like that, when we've gotten to do things like that, there's always a thing of like, you get done, or like we're back at the hotel, or like we're back on the plane going home, and just to where I've been able to like take a second and really soak it in. Like, that was amazing. Wow. Like, I can't believe we just had that opportunity and we did that. But it's hard sometimes on the flip side of that coin, like when you're in it, to like really, like I feel like you have to be very mindful to take that time to really soak those things in, and soak those feelings in, and understand them and process them correctly. Cause you're just going. And then like, you're getting to the one thing, and then you're already thinking, okay, well, how are we going to do the next thing? Like, but just like with anything else, you know? And so it's, I've found, and then just from the experience of having to take like this forced break, I feel like since then I've been much more aware and mindful to like just kind of let these things soak in. Like, we did these three shows, we had these two flyaway shows, and they were in Florida, which is like, for me, because I live in North Carolina, so that's like, I mean, you know, if you drove, it'd be about like maybe 10 hours to get to where the second show was, 'cause it was pretty south. And but my brother lives in Northern Florida, so his band played the show also. And my dad, when he saw that we were both playing, he's like, well, I'm gonna go. And then so like my dad's there, my brother's there, his band's playing, we're playing after. And I'm just, and afterwards, you know, like I was like back at the hotel, and I'm just like sitting there like, oh my God, this is incredible. Like, there was, see, my brother and I are 10 years apart, you know. So, or he's 10 years younger. And, there's like, if just kind of in line with how our conversation started, you know, and like what we've been talking about, it's like, I couldn't have imagined, you know, when he was 14, 13, 10, like that, all these years down the line, we're gonna be playing shows together. You know what I'm saying? So
it must be an amazing day for your father to be like, I'm a proud dad. Like, my two sons are like playing big stages and in big bands, and this is pretty awesome.
Dude, when he was when he was leaving after the second show, because he was going, he was going to visit a buddy after that who lived about an hour away. And then so like we're like saying bye, and he just said the most just beautiful things to me. Like, I'm like, yeah, there's like people around. I'm not trying to like cry. They're going to think you hurt my feelings, man. What are you doing? and it just, yeah. Like there was a lot of love in the air. You know, you could feel it. It was thick, like humid,
but
humid
isn't that
with love.
Beautiful and isn't that real?
Yes. Yes, it is. And it's not, I understand that not many people are able to have an experience like that with their dad, and so it's not lost on me how special that is.
My favorite moment with my dad, I'm not in a band that have toured the world or been very successful, but for his birthday, for his 80th birthday, we took him as a surprise to New York. And then we went to Philadelphia for the
That's
day.
A huge surprise.
It is, and he's never really been far in his life. Like, he's just been to Europe when he was younger, you know. And we surprised him. We took him out to Philadelphia, and his favorite film of all time is Rocky. So on
Oh,
his
you climbed the
birthday,
steps?
he got to go up the stairs. He didn't run. He's 80, you know, he's
Yeah.
85 now. But at that point, I got a photo of him
Wow.
and me at the top of the steps with our arms up like Rocky. And honestly, dude, like, that's my moment for, you know, your dad seeing you play with Taken Back Sunday on a stage. That was me and my dad moment. Like, that's something I'll have forever, you know?
Oh my God. Yeah, dude, that must have been wow. And like then for him too, that just must have been,
He'd never really been
oh
on
my
a
God.
plane for like more than an hour. If we were going to Spain as a kid or something, you know, but they're not like travelers. That he's very traditional. He grew up when the war was on. So for him to go there and be like, let's have a Philly cheesesteak and then just go up there. And he was just like, it's just that photo's
Yeah, he's
gonna,
like, who am I?
you know, like that photo is worth more to me than anything. You know, it's just,
Yeah.
there we are.
I could only imagine, dude, like that must, yeah, like that's one of those, like you're fighting back the love that's trying to,
and in my head I'm just
that
playing the Rocky theme tune, but that's one of my finest moments. But I suppose with you guys
that's
now
incredible.
on the verge of releasing a new album, and it's your ninth album now, isn't it?
Eighth or ninth.
Eighth or ninth album. Like, that's
I
just
should know that.
that's astonishing, isn't it? That the fact that
Yes.
you know, you're still going, you've got the hunger. I've listened to the album, I've been given a promo, and I'm not just saying this, dude. It's like, it feels like your most honest album. It sounds raw, but it also sounds well produced. It sounds beautiful, emotional, but it sounds like a band that aren't afraid to challenge themselves even now and just not play it safe. You're just like, fuck it, like, these songs mean something and we're going to play it. And if it doesn't sound like the same band we were 5 years ago, it doesn't matter because it's about the songs.
Man, I really appreciate you saying that. I really appreciate those words. Thank you. Because it was for us, we, or like with 152, well, like really going into anything, we don't want to, we've never wanted to be repeating ourselves. And we've also never wanted to be like standing in still water. You know, that's what attracts the mosquitoes. And then, so like it's always been this thing of like, okay, we've done that, so like how do we move forward? But then specifically with 152, there's this thing of we like it, and we talked about it a lot, like before the process and during, of this thing we felt kind of like we were at some crossroads, you know. And it's this thing of like, okay, we can go one way and we can do what we've kind of just exactly what we've been doing, you know, and then just kind of expand on this same thing and then, and like really settle into people's expectations of us basically. And then, or we can go this other way and make something that's true to the people that we are now, like right now. And we chose to go that way. And
that was the right road to go down, my friend.
Those kind words that you were sharing make me feel that way. Thank you. there's because it's, man, like, there, we've like seen it like with friends bands too, you know, this thing of it kind of like, I like feel that at a certain point. And then I feel like we were kind of like getting dangerously close to that ledge, you know, of like, well, this is comfortable and it's working.
Well, it's the safe option. It's the safe, isn't it? It's
right.
The easy, safe option. But you need to be brave. You need to evolve. And the bands I listen to now more than any other bands are the bands that don't sound like they did. And for example, some of my favorite bands ever are Radiohead, Thrice, I think, are just incredible how their musicianship has evolved over time. And even the vocals of Dustin just has evolved from a completely different kid to what he is now. And I will go back and listen to those albums and digest them, but they take me on a journey. And Taking Back Sunday with 152 is the next destination of your journey. And it's a brave one because I love bands like Fall Out Boy and Green Day, but you kind of know where they're going to go. You kind of don't have major surprises. But this album, I think, is going to show fans that you weren't afraid. You were okay to go down that different route and challenge yourself and have more hurdles on that road. But fuck me, when you get to that destination at the end, isn't it much more worthwhile? Isn't it much more rewarding? Isn't it much more like,
yes,
I'm gonna punch the air now? Because we didn't just go, oh, verse, chorus, same songs, same sort of sound, it'll sell. Like, you evolved as a human.
There's like, that's one of the things that I'm really proud of with our band, is that I feel that each record is like a extremely accurate snapshot of the people we were in that moment, in that period of time, you know, like a high school yearbook or something almost. And then, I'm really proud of us that we were able to do that with 152. And because the thing is, again, on like the flip side of that, and looking at it from like I guess I'm just going to be saying the same thing in a different way, but the thing is, like, I feel that for a long time we were kind of trying to get into other people's world, you know, and with this, with 152, and because we knew that we were gonna write for ourselves really first, that it's that's why we named the record that it's like more of an invitation, you know, rather than trying to get into other people's worlds. It's like, no, hey, how about you come over to the house, we made some dinner, you're gonna love it, and we're gonna have a great time.
Trust in us, because we now trust in ourselves.
I'm gonna steal that. I hope that's okay with you.
Just give me like a little copyright plug or a little shout out or something like that.
Okay. I can
I've got video and audio evidence here. So if I'm like, the next single's called that, I'm like, that bastard never even said thank you.
Yeah, that's it. I better be in the liner notes.
So what's next for you guys? Obviously, when you have this anticipation of a new record coming out, do you feel nervous? Do you feel like, I hope the fans love it, even though we've introduced some songs live? Are you like, I really hope they're on the same path?
Of course. It's like funny with this one too. It's like, we are collectively, it's like real rare to get all four of us on the same page at the same time. But with this, I feel that everyone just genuinely, or like the four of us, we just love it so much that it's in the moment right now and today when I'm talking to you, that like, that's more than enough for me. I think for all of us. And then obviously we hope people like it, and we hope that there's like a, like they can find a bit of themselves in there, you know. But it's to answer your question about being nervous. I would think if we made a record and then there was a time where we weren't nervous at all, that would probably mean, okay, we should maybe be doing something different. So like that's part of, like, as uncomfortable as that nervous feeling is, there's a lot of this time around, it feels like there's within the group, you know, there's a confidence around that nervous energy, which to me, like, I like in my mind, you know, I imagine like it's the kind of nervous energy that has just like a lot of light wrapped
It
around
sounds
it,
only
you know.
positive to me. It sounds like an exciting kind of nerve. It's like a, yeah, it's a positive, isn't it? It's not a negative. It's a an
Yeah.
excitement.
It's like a like teetering on like a like just this excited anticipation, just kind of territory, you know.
And is it going to be that long until we see you playing over here again? It feels like a while. I'd like to see you
Dude,
guys as quick
it's
as we
been so
can.
long. I would like to go over as quick as we can. Unfortunately, that's not my department. But yes, we're planning out next year now.
Lovely.
And then, excuse me. So there's nothing that I could say for sure, because they're still ironing everything
Yeah.
out, getting a little nice bow on it, you know. But yeah, it'll be sooner than later, and definitely next year.
What I do on the podcast, and it's my final question for you today, and it's not an easy one, but I've asked it to everyone that's been on, to try and make the podcast as original as I can. The guest that's on the podcast gets to choose the final song that's played on the podcast. So once it's all
Oh,
edited and the
wow.
world's ready for the final edit to be listened to, you get to choose that very last song that's played. So I was wondering, is there a piece of music or a song by any band or maybe from a film or just a piece of music that means so much to you that when I ask the question, and I know you're in a band and I know you write songs and there's a million songs in your head right now, what's the one that came to your heart and soul that you think would be the perfect song for you to finish today's episode on?
Oh, man, that is a tough one. Does anybody ever say like their own song, or is that
I've had two people do that,
cheating?
and then I've had someone
Yeah.
pick a 22-minute Yoko Ono B-side, and I was like, for fuck's sake, your interview was 20 minutes and now the song's 22 minutes. Like, you've taken the piss. And then I've had people
Yeah.
pick really rare, hard to find music scores, pieces of music that are just overture number 8.4 in C suspended 7. I'm like, I can't find that. Like,
It's like, guys,
come on. Just pick Oasis or the Beatles, you know.
yeah, there's my first impulse was to say Explosions in the Sky, and I was gonna go something off of or like that first song off of The Earth Is Not a Cold Dead Place, but I don't know the name of the song, because anytime I listen to that record, I just put it on and let it play.
Well, I can just go with track one off that album if you want, or if there's something else that's now starting to come into your heart that's a different choice, we can go with that.
There's I would play, well, I would either go with that Explosions in the Sky, or I'd play the first song off of 152, because I have to be honest, I can't. It's like another testament, I just think, to like the way I was talking about the record, is that that's a song that I haven't, like, I can't get enough of it. Like, I always listen to it twice, or at least one and a half times. And so it's like I would go with that. But then I don't want to seem like I don't know if it's like a, I mean, you know, like a faux
But
pas
from
to
the
like
Used
say our
picked his
own.
own song and it was like, really? But I
Yeah.
was like, fair play. But at the same time, what I'm gonna do is to make it good for you, is just before the interview goes out, I'll play the first track from 152. So I'll play a nice little long snippet so people get a taster of it. Then they hear us talk, then they hear us talk why this song means a lot to you and how cool it is, and then we'll finish with the first track off the album that you just mentioned.
My
That
man, thank
pleases
you.
everybody.
Yeah, wow. I feel like I might need to start calling you because I'm bad at making decisions. And that one was, you just whipped that together real quick, and I'm impressed. And
if you
I
ring
thank
me
you
next
for
week
doing
and
that.
You're like, so how do I make a chicken pot pie? And I got, and I'm like, look,
yeah.
I'm not that good at that. It's just outro songs. That's my only thing. And giving you maybe a lyric idea. That's it. That's all I can be responsible for today.
Well, that's more than enough. I'll tell you that.
It's awesome. Adam, it's genuinely been a pleasure. I've wanted you on this podcast for a long time. Some guests come on and it takes a while to happen. Some things just happen when timing just, something happens. It's just in the air. But with Emma and the help she's given this podcast, it's so good to have you on. And I'm so grateful for your time, buddy.
Oh, yeah, man. Thank you for taking the time too. And then, man, like also for your kind words, you know, like that's as much as I do feel like just so confident around the record, and I'm so happy with the record, but with that nervous feeling we were talking about, there's also, I feel like a lot of my raging insecurities is wrapped up in that. So then hearing that is just wonderful for me. So thank you for taking the time
what's
and
really
for your
good
kind
is
words.
I get one or two interviews done a day, and sometimes it's obviously work and you're interviewing people that you are asked to interview for certain releases or for films or for projects that are coming out. But when it's a band that I love and I've loved for a long time, the best part is you get an album early. So you get to listen to it before anyone else, and you get to kind of, my research is, I don't need to read about where you were born or what school you went to. I just want to listen to your latest album. And what I will do is I'll just listen to it morning, day and night for a week up to the interview. And it's really fresh in my head. And I'm like, I can't get enough of the album, dude. And I'm not saying it because you're here now. 152. It's too early to say this because it's only been a week, but it might be my favorite work you've done. So.
Oh, man. Dude, goosebumps, man. Thank you. That's incredible. That's so incredible. Thank you for saying
Dude,
that.
It's a pleasure.
Because that's how I feel about it. But I feel like anyone that's in a position like mine would say that.
And
that their newest
isn't that
thing's
cool
their favorite
that it's
thing.
Either album 8 or 9 and it's your favorite work you've done?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's one of the reasons I'm the luckiest guy I know.
Dude, I hope our paths cross and we can do it in person next time. When you're in the UK, let's have a beer, let's have a drink, let's sit down and we'll continue
man.
This and do more, because there's something special about some interviews and I just feel magical afterwards, and this is one of them. So thank you for your time.
Dude, thank you. And yes, I will make sure to remind Emma once I have dates actual locked in on the calendar. We'll let you know so we can set some up.
That'll be awesome. Enjoy the rest of your day, dude. Take care, and
you,
I'll tag
yeah,
you
you
on all
too.
The socials and do all that sort of stuff for you. But I'll get it out the same time as the album, so people then start listening and then straight away can go and check out the album. Otherwise, it's just two guys talking about something that isn't out there yet for the world to listen to.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Adam, take care.
So,
I'll speak to you soon.
Thanks,
and
man.
Look after yourself, buddy.
All right.
Take
you
care,
too.
Man.
Bye-bye.
So there it is. There's my interview with me and Adam from Taking Back Sunday. What a great guy. We hit it off straight away. Like I said at the start, we had great chemistry and I could have talked to him for hours. It was such a privilege to sit down and have this interview. And I do want to say now a massive thanks to Emma. You know, you always sort me out with these amazing interviews. It means so much and I'm so grateful. And again, I keep on saying this, but I owe you the world and more. I've really enjoyed this interview, and I hope after today that you've listened. If you haven't checked out the new album, 152, go and check it out now. Buy it, stream it, or do whatever you need to do, but listen to this album. It's that good. Also, if you've enjoyed today's episode, why not share it? You're all on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. You see these episodes being advertised. I'm a one-man independent podcaster. I don't have a team of people. I don't have a budget coming in. It's literally down to you guys to spread the word. So if you're a fan of Taking Back Sunday and you've just discovered this podcast, please take the time to retweet the episode, or on Facebook, share it, or on Instagram, share it. And you may have seen, I now have a YouTube channel. It's only been up a month, but it's doing really well. And this interview with Adam Lazara is now available as you're listening to this on YouTube. So if you want a bit more of an intimate experience and get to visualize and see the interview, it's there right now for you guys to check out. And as always, please put a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. Before I go, I want to give a big shout out to the sponsors of this podcast, Folio Society, who in my opinion truly are the best company out there for buying books, and also Richer Sounds. If you're in the market for a home cinema system or speakers or headphones, those guys are the best around. So go on richersounds.com or foliosociety.com and buy yourself some new treats. I'll be back in only a few days' time with a massive, huge interview, one of the biggest that I've ever done. And also a brand new video will be hitting my YouTube channel in only a few days' time too. So if you haven't, please check that out. And in the meantime, listen to Taking Back Sunday, look after yourself, take care, and I'll speak to you all very soon.